and welcome to the ADHD Dive, the show that's not about ADHD, but is filled with proof it exists. My name is David J. Mund. And this is probably the most difficult episode I've ever recorded, I think. I guess I don't know. We just started. But the anticipation is that there's going to be lots of pausing just to kind of reflect. Mostly because I have not given myself the real a real opportunity to just say a lot of the stuff I'm about to say out loud, let alone some of the stuff that I've just been thinking about. But I'm going to try to make this like palatable for an audience, not just like something I should send to my therapist. And I actually want to say something at the top about maybe a way that you can maybe get involved with the show or, you know, just lend some advice or whatever. So I have an email for the podcast. I've been doing a lot of the like NGL, the not gonna lie thing, but that requires people to download an app to like talk. I don't know. I've never actually, I think maybe only one time have I commented on somebody's NGL. Whatever. I'm gonna try to phase that out. So if you would like to get in touch with me and talk about, of course, there's a really loud car outside. If you'd like to get in touch with me and talk about something or and have me talk about something on the show, or you just want to reach out and whatever, I have an email. It's adhdeepdivepodcast@gmail.com. One more time, adhdeepdivepodcast. adhdeepdivepodcast@gmail.com. adhdeepdivepodcast@gmail.com. If something in this episode resonates with you that you want to share a personal anecdote about or whatever, you know, just reach out to that email and we could talk about it. Whether on the show or just, I don't know, if you don't want it read out loud, just say like private or something like that. If you would prefer that it was like, you know, you can use this, but like leave it anonymous. Just put like anonymous. And then if you don't really particularly care, just reach out and we'll talk. First, I must loudly sip some water. Oh, I've got the butterflies in the old tummy. And as I pause to reflect about how I'm going to do this episode, I think about an episode prior where I said something like, oh no, I've got smoothie on my nipple. Oh no. Oh guys, I've got smoothie on my shirt. Do I change? No. We're already in it. Shit. This is the ADHD Deep Dive. The show that's not about ADHD, but it's full of proof it exists. Hey, you little pussycat, get out of here.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk. Oh, boy. In a few episodes prior, I mentioned something along the lines of, like, I have not had that necessary, from-the-gut cry in a long time. Which I thought was good, and I think was good. And now that I think about it, like right now, maybe I haven't. I'm just saying I wept the other day. Just wept. My dog Judah, let's just come out with it and then I'll give you some backstory. My dog Judah has a cancerous tumor under her front right leg and an ulcer that's growing above her eyelid that could also be a sign of cancer that both of which are going to be removed soon. I think this episode will probably come out on Monday. The 21st. I'm sorry. That was rough. I don't think I've ever been so nervous. Just because I don't know how I'm going to behave in this episode. A lot of things I want to talk about, I just don't know how to get them out. So pardon me while I drink some more water. I've had Judah for, I believe, 11 years. My concept of time is all sorts of off. It's been 10 or 11 years, and I got her when she was just a puppy. So that means she's 10 or 11 years old. And my understanding for the average lifespan of a dachshund or a corgi is, you know, about 15 years. The smaller the dog, typically the longer the lifespan. I'm no veterinary expert or whatever. I do some Googling. I do some worrisome Googling. When I want to know how long I'm going to have my dogs, I just say, how long on average does this live? Or whatever. How long is the lifespan on average of either a dachshund, a corgi, or in Gus's case, a lab basset hound? I'm still getting used to switching up how I talk about him, because he's not what I thought he was all this time that I've had him. So maybe unfortunately I do actually have to make this a shorter episode, because just overall today, it's just not good. And I don't necessarily mean just in my mind. I mean, of course, selfishly in my mind, yes, there are some things going on. This is also like a pretty big bummer of a day family-wise. I'm not really going to get into the specifics of it, but just a lot of my family is grieving today. So it's like, I don't really know how. I don't think I've had as, well, that's not true. I mean, I've had some big moments that I've had to process and talk about in real time on the show. But this feels like one of those ones that you always know is coming, but like, it's like out of sight, out of mind in the way that you think about it. So I'm just bummed out today. Okay. That's what this attitude is going into this episode, but I really do want to try to find a way to not just have this be doom and gloom, but maybe I can talk a little bit about the dogs. And I know I've talked about, there's a whole episode I'm pretty sure dedicated to how they've literally saved my life a time or two. But, how do you talk about this, David? So yeah, when I was, I cannot remember if it was my senior year of high school or if it was after I had graduated, because all I remember is, I lived with my parents the year after I graduated. So like the blur of where I was, I don't remember how old. I think that it was my senior year of high school. Fuck, this is really difficult. So not just the recalling of it, just the thinking about what it's leading up to. So yeah, I got her as a pup. My friend Aaron, I believe his parents or his mom had a dog that had a litter of puppies. I believe the mom was a dachshund and the dad was a corgi, or vice versa. Either way, there was a litter of pups. Some were short-haired, some were long-haired. And when I got her, I thought that she was going to be a short hair because I was really excited about like not having like a bunch of long hair everywhere. I was wrong. Hang on.
Kitty, I really do. You're so cute, but like, I don't want you being in here. And now you're being a little scamp. I hope the microphone picks her up yelling at me. Okay, ready? Get out of here. Get out of here.
So that friend, his family had a litter of puppies, thought she was going to be a short hair. She ended up being a long hair. And before that, I think it was maybe my sophomore year of high school. I think I was just on a walk with my brother and we saw a sign outside of a house that said, puppies for sale. And they were lab puppies. And I think that I, for some reason, it was either like, I think it was right after my birthday. Yeah. I had $100. And the puppies were for sale for $100. And I made this big promise to my family that, like, you know, I'm buying this dog, which means when I leave high school, this dog is going to be mine and I'm going to take it with me and it'll be my responsibility. Now, to be clear, that didn't happen. I didn't take the dog with me, but it was our family pet and therefore ended up becoming like, when I left high school, the rest of the family's like, you know, best friend. So he stayed with my family, but there was a fear that this was about to happen again when I picked up Judah. And I think that I was in a relationship at the time. And so like, I was trying to like pawn it off. Oh, actually I'm reliving something here. Oh boy. I was in a relationship at the time. And the excuse was, hey, don't bark, please. So when I got her, I was in a relationship. And the way that I was able to convince my parents to let me keep her was, you know, if I can't take care of her for whatever reason, then she will go to this partner's house. And I believe that's how it was for a little while. And then myself and this partner broke up. And I think that there was like a whole dispute about what would happen with Judah. And I think we ultimately ended up deciding that she was going to keep her. So she keeps her for like, I don't know, maybe a month or something. And I'll like periodically pop in and like say hi to her or something. Actually, I don't even really remember what the arrangement was. But I do remember being kind of bummed out. Like, I did not have Judah. We did not even have Judah for... it was such an irresponsible decision to get her because I was a freaking senior in high school. I was in an impulsive relationship. We were getting a dog together, which will come up in the story later because it happens again with Gus. Oh boy, do I have a track record for doing the same fucking thing over and over and over again. Okay, anyway, so when I got her, or when we split, rather, whatever the arrangement was, she was not my dog. And then, whatever, a period of time went by, and she... Oh no, oh my God, I'm reliving so many things, it's all coming back. We got back together. That's what it was. She kept Judah for the longest time. And then we ended up getting back together. And I was like, oh my goodness, look at this dog. It's blossomed into this like beautiful creature. It's probably, she's probably about a little less than a year at this point. And then inevitably we split again. And my partner, that ex now, was like going into a different living situation and decided that she could not keep Judah. Except this time I had grown such a deep personal attachment to her at this point, because I think what was happening is when we got back together, it was after high school. Now it's coming back to me. So she is 11 years old. We had gotten back together. Hang on, I have to pause. The amount of times I've already had to cut because the dogs are barking at something outside lends itself to the stressful side of what owning dogs is like. Like, all I'm trying to do is tell you a fucking sad story about how my dog ended up getting cancer. And they're being loud and obnoxious, and I can't think. But I love nothing more than them. Like, I am not capable of loving anything more than these two dogs. It's just the duality of having a dog and maybe being a parent. But I don't know. I'm sure parents would dispute that. But I don't care. These are my children, and that's how I treat them. So anyways, I digress. I grew such a personal attachment to this dog that there was just no way, no way I was just going to let her be given away to somebody else. And I think that was about to happen. She's like, well, you need to come get this dog then. And I'm not really trying to throw this person under the bus, but I do remember it being pretty callous. So, I was still staying with my parents. And yeah, it became this big thing. Like, you can't keep this dog, dude. We can't keep it. Like if you end up moving out, like, you've got to take it with you. And I had already felt bad about, you know, how I had not done that with Wilson, even though I had seen my family fall in love with Wilson. Whatever. I promised this time around, that's not how it will be. And at that point I made a commitment to Judah. Like, it's us, bro, through everything. Because that was my first real huge breakup. Like, this was a big deal, I think. We're impulsive, whatever, but we were quote unquote serious. And I had gone through it with Judah. So I was like, okay, if we're doing this, we're fucking doing this. And then from then on, thick as thieves, right? Flash forward. I get Gus a few years later while I'm in another relationship acting impulsively again. And I think I've kind of discussed this on a podcast a little bit, so I don't really want to relive it because it's the most unfortunate thing. It makes me so fucking angry, but I don't really know how to talk about it in a healthy way yet, so I don't think doing it on here is the best place to do it. So I was in a relationship. We got Gus. This person, in my opinion, decided that they were... Well, this person, in my opinion, was hurt by the fact that I needed the dogs more than I needed them and was insecure about that because we were already in a failing relationship. And then she began to hate, literally hate the dogs in a way that I believe was not just, I would use the word abusive. Fuck, I don't know how to talk about this. But not just... It was the reason I left. It was the reason it was over. Because I fucking hated the way that she treated the dogs. I hated the way that she... Never mind, whatever. I'll still process that later. All that to say, these dogs are my best friends, and we've gone through everything. Everything that I feel is fundamental in my young adult to adult life has happened with Judah, and then definitely the adult portion of that with Gus, both of which are getting to a point that they are approaching average lifespans of dogs. And I think I talked about a couple of weeks ago that Gus was really sick for a little while. And I don't know if I talked about finding a solution in that episode, but apparently it just ended up being that he has a sensitivity to lamb. So I switched him back to chicken. That's apparently all that it was. I don't know if it was this bag of food that I got or if it was just lamb as the meat in general. But, so let's talk about what happened with Judah, right? So first of all, like I said, she's a little dachshund corgi. So she's got short little legs to begin with. And one of the normal things that starts to happen with older dogs of that size or of that breed is that, you know, they're prone to arthritis. Maybe their back will start going out a little bit, or they'll just have like, you know, you'll just see them doing those deep, deep, oh my God, I really need this stretches pretty early. Cause like, you know, they're all back. They're about 98% back and the other 2% is leg and face. So, you know, I've seen her have sore days before, and especially if she's sprawled out like a little hot dog on the floor, you know, and she's just laying there for a long time, you know, I'll see her get up and like that kind of noise, you know what I mean? Like she's got to do some big stretches. But one day I saw her kind of doing that with her right leg, which I've kind of already spoiled for you, but act as if you don't know that part yet. And I really thought nothing of it. Actually, no. Let me kind of rein in on the specifics. I came home one day, and as if overnight, or as if over the course of a few hours, she developed what I thought, after asking around and Redditing and whatever, was just a cyst growing above her eye, which I've seen on dogs before. I've especially seen on older dogs before. And what I was hearing was there's not really a lot of cause for concern about it. If anything, apply a warm compress to it if it's bothering them. It didn't actually appear to be bothering Judah. It didn't appear like didn't bother her to the touch. I still don't think that it does. But say I was doing like the warm compress or whatever. So that showed up, I think, yeah, that's what I saw first. And then either later that night or whatever, I think it was later that night. Yeah. I was letting them in from outside, and I have a staircase. I'm on the top of a duplex. So you have to walk up the outer stairs on the outside of the house. And then when you enter the front door, there's another set of stairs to get up to like the main floor of our part. So you basically walk in and like, that's where you like, you can put your shoes or whatever. And then there's like a set of stairs up to like the main hallway. So when she was running up the stairs outside, she was like leaning against the wall on the left as she was like using it as support. And I saw her like trip and fall. I said, oh shit, shoot. And I kind of like laughed at her because sometimes it's silly. I mean, she didn't like roll down the fucking stairs, but she just like missed a step. And then she like had a bit of a tough time getting back up. So sometimes that's a silly thing. If like, you know, they're going too fast, they got the zoomies and then they're like, oh shit, I missed a step. So I didn't really think anything of it. Actually, more specifically, well, let me tell you. Okay. So then when I open up the door, they have to go up another set of stairs. She does it again. She's leaning up against the wall again. And then she does the same slip like 3 or 4 times going up steps. And so I went from like, haha, that's really funny, to like, oh, you poor thing. Like, okay, there must be something stuck in your paw. Because recently we were walking around the corner from my house and like a bunch of acorns were falling from the tree, and she got an acorn stuck in her little paw pad. So she was like limping. And so I just had to pluck the acorn out of the paw pad. It was kind of funny. So I thought that's all that it was. So I bring her into the bed and I lay her on her back and I'm like feeling her paws and I'm like, where's the, and you know, maybe there's something stuck in her paw again. And she's kind of like, oh, oh, oh. She's like, I mean, she's like leaning into it like it's a massage. And so I was like, oh, okay. Maybe she's just, okay, maybe we had a long walk or something. Let's give her a little puppy massage. And I got to be honest, I love giving Judah her little puppy massages because she's all back. You could just like squish, squish, squish forever. Like, get like behind her little hips, and then she's like, she does this little thing where she like looks up and then she kind of like licks into the air. She loves it, man. So I was like, okay, let's give her a little puppy massage. I lay her on her back and I'm like giving each paw like a little like thumb, like up along her little forearm or whatever, doing it into the pads. And then I get over to underneath her right leg and I feel like a knot. So I was like, oh shit, that's where it is. And I kind of like start going for it a little bit. And then I realized that this knot is like, I mean, what do I say? I mean, it's, I've already spoiled it for you. I don't really know how to relive my thought process, but very quickly I felt a tumor. And let me say for context, Gus has fatty tumors, little tiny ones, like on a few different spots on his body. He's got one up on his chest. So he's a fully black dog, except he's got like all gray face now. Well, he looks like he's got a little raccoon face. But he, has one white patch on his chest, and right at the tip of the white patch is like a little bubble. It's like your average, I mean, think of a bigger bubble wrap, right? One of the big bubbles. It's right there on his chest, but it's just a little tiny one. He's had it for maybe 4 or 5 years. It's just a little fatty tumor. It's nothing to worry about. He's also got one on his side, a little tiny one. I think he's got one towards his butt as well. But I mean, shit, he's 13 and, you know, I think, so Wilson ended up living till 11. I've seen other labs live to, yeah, about 14, 15. I mean, of course some die very young, some die very old. But I think the average is, yeah, about 10 to 14 maybe for a lab. Actually let's look it up real time. I don't want to freak anybody out. What is the average lifespan for a lab? 10 to 12 years. Okay. So, yeah, he lived a healthy life. Oh, what is the average life? The median longevity for a Labrador is about 10 to 14 years. Didn't I just say 10 to 14 years? Holy shit. Go me. But anyways, well, Gus is a small lab. He's a lab basset hound. So he's still kicking. And I think he's actually relatively healthy. He gets the zoomies, man. He's got like strong legs. He can power up the stairs. Like he can jump. He can get off the ground. He's got hops. But, you know, if he were to start getting sick, like, or weak, you know, I would more understand. Of course, I'd be equally as devastated. He is my best friend. But when I felt this one on Judah, it's not the same. It's not a bubble wrap. It's a baseball. And what's getting to me, and of course there's one side of my head right now that I'm sure you are saying as well, is like the, you couldn't have known, whatever. But the size of this thing was like, how did I not know? She wasn't showing any signs of weakness. I didn't see. She's been really capable of going on long walks. She loves them. I mean, she's not saying it, of course, but So that was my first thought when I found it, was like, how fucking long has this been? Probably freaking, I actually don't have an answer to that. I don't know how long it could have been there. But like on the same day, I noticed the thing above her eye and then under her leg. So whatever, just to kind of spoil it and jump forward, I took her to the vet. They did a test on the tumor. They said there was, of course, good and bad news. Bad news being there was cancers, but they're like when they, whatever, they, I don't know the technical terms or whatever, but they found cancerous cells in the tumor. But they said, like, if she was like riddled with cancer, this tumor would be like all cancer, right? Like they would, so I don't know, like maybe I'm misunderstanding the way that they said it, but they basically said like, we should get it out. Not just because it's making it difficult for her to walk, but there is a chance that if we get it out now, like it hasn't, it's possible it hasn't spread anywhere. But the thing with her eye, and they can't know if it's related yet until they get them out or get them off. But the thing about her eye, and I have medicine here for her that she's been taking to hopefully help with this, is if the thing above her eye doesn't start to go down a little bit, then they'll have to take the entire, eyelid. Which means she just won't be able to blink. Which means eventually she'll lose the eye. And I don't know how to, I don't know how to think about that. Because it's a quality of life conversation at that point. Like, let's say she can't, they get this tumor out, right? Even if it's not full of cancer, right? And she's just old enough, just weak enough that she can't recover properly. So she's not able to walk or go to the bathroom on her own, or, and then she can't see out of an eye. So with Gus, it's, to me, it's so much more clear cut, right? Like he's, he's just old enough that if he were to like show signs of being weak, then again, I would understand. It's like, it, I would be so sad that he's gotten so old, but like an old dog, it's very obvious when it's time for them to go. And with Judah, it's like, it might be my decision. And like, I'm going to have to read her body language for the next few weeks so closely so that I know she's not like miserable. Because right now, again, she's on a few different medicines. One's actually like a human pain medication. So I got to be honest. Here we go. So she's on one that's carprofen, whatever. I'm supposed to give her one tablet by mouth every 12 hours for 5 days. And that's for pain and inflammation. Hold up, Tio. I need to get a Kleenex or something. Fuck. So yeah, that's supposedly for pain and inflammation. It they're hoping that that will bring. I think that's supposed to be for. Yeah, okay, now I'm confused. Okay, so that's supposed to be for like the inflammation around where the tumor is, so that they can kind of get in there more easily, that like the muscle around it's not swollen, they can just slice her and scoop it out. And then she's on a Rilaxine, which I'm supposed to give her 2 tablets every 12 hours. And it doesn't say what that one's for, but my understanding is that's for around her eye, because like I said, they want to get that size down so that they don't have to take the whole eyelid. If they can get it down, in theory, they can just cut it off. It's just the fact that, you know, when you do surgery around a dog's eye, it's like, it's just not, or any eye, you got to be so careful, and like it's so delicate, and then she's on then she's on gabapentin, which is a human, well, it's a pain medication that humans do take. I picked it up at my local pharmacy, at the grocery store. And I'm supposed to give her one of those every 8 hours. That one is pain medication. That one I have the hardest time giving to her because I know what it does a little bit. Like, after all this stuff, she gets a little bit dissociative. She's not, like, loopy and, like, stumbling around, but definitely when she feels weak on her leg, if she stumbles, she's just wobbly enough that like she falls and then just lays there, rather than just kind of like, oop, I tripped, and then pushing herself back up and then hopping around like she usually does. But yeah, maybe that's where I leave it, I guess, because her surgery is Thursday. It's Monday, the 21st, if you're listening to this on the day it comes out. Her surgery is Thursday, the 24th. So, we'll see, dude. I'm really scared. And I think that the next episode will be regardless, the next episode I record will be after the surgery. I'm really scared. How do you close this one out, right? I have a really depressing lyric to quote, even though I don't necessarily believe it, but there's a Childish Gambino lyric where he just says, "Why get a dog if it's just gonna die?" And it's a very nihilistic way of looking at things. But like, you also have to reflect and remember that that's going to happen. And that is certainly, of course I know. Of course you know it's going to happen. And it is probably healthy not to think about it if you don't need to. Like, if you've got a perfectly healthy dog, of course be cautious and take care of them and love them and be careful with them. But you don't need to, like, dwell on the fact that they're going to die one day. But when you are faced with their mortality, I just hope that we are all prepared to make some really difficult decisions, but not make those decisions out of selfishness. I know with confidence that the moment I sense suffering that will last, you know, not to be morbid, but I will not let either of them suffer. Not for a second. But I have seen stories and I have seen incidents, of people just hanging on to their pet for far too long because they don't want to let go. And I get that that's very, very difficult. It's gonna be a motherfucker when it's time for these two. But just don't let them suffer. I don't want to leave you on a bummer note. So I want to talk about something that I am, regardless of this experience with Judah, really, really excited about. Maybe it feels like a weird time to plug this, but I've been talking about it for the last 3 weeks. Our band has a show coming up in Traverse City with the band that I started. And I'm saying it this way because Ethan told me to say it this way last week. The band that I started when I was a freshman in high school, Live For Tomorrow, it will be the first time that I have played with them on stage since I left right around the time that I got Judah, actually. It's probably because I was in a relationship. Oh, look at that. We're healing, understanding, aren't we? And it's just so special. Like I'm so happy that I get to do this show because we've healed lots of, at least in my perspective, tents. We've overcome a lot of big hurdles in our friendships to get to where we are, and to be able to play the show is just very poetic. And I don't know, I'm excited to get up on stage with the dudes. And then, hey, if you're in Grand Rapids on, I believe that it is September the 21st. Let me confirm. I'm glad that I confirmed, but now I have to double confirm. Let's see. It might not be the 21st. It might be. Oh my God. Guys. More events. Events. There we go. Yes. I wrote it wrong on my calendar. So, wow, I really need to get that taken care of. Thursday, September 21st. Yeah, it's weird. It's a Thursday. It's a Thursday afternoon. Thursday at noon. Relax at Rosa. Downtown Grand Rapids has live music every week. And that week, it'll be us. Except it'll be in the middle of Art Prize, which is just a big art... oh, shit. Festival? Art festival. That takes place every year in downtown Grand Rapids. So there'll be plenty of shit happening. There's going to be vendors around, freaking food trucks. And it's not like a come in, buy a ticket, and show up and just show up. It'll be free. We'll be playing for about an hour and a half downtown Grand Rapids. If you like punk, except it's not just punk. Don't think just punk, right? Pop punk, alt rock. I suck at genres. So just come out, check us out. I would like to, as always, thank the supporters, Kat and crew of this show, KATANDCREW. You can go to catandcrew.com, enter the promo code Monday, M-U-N-D-A-Y. Get 10% off your first purchase. And then tap the link in the description to go to Buzzsprout subscriptions. That's how this show is supported. That's how you can direct or support the show directly. That is where I host and distribute the podcast. So everything gets posted to Buzzsprout, and then Buzzsprout distributes it everywhere else. You can do a one-time or monthly donation to the podcast. I hope that 180'd the mood, I guess. Thank you guys for allowing me to do that, if you stuck around for it. Woo. I can't believe. Oh, boy. Oh, that's going to be public now. No. Okay. I love you. Thank you so much for watching and allowing me to process everything on Mondays. I appreciate you guys, and I hope to see you next week. Forgive me if there is no episode next week. Thanks.